TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. America is just now beginning to learn all of the cronies in the Bush administration. It's not that the hundreds and thousands of people who are incompetent, appointed by the Bush administration because of money they gave to the administration, haven't been there all along. It's just that Americans are finally starting to recognize them, mostly with the spectacular failure of FEMA Director Mike Brown and the crash and burn of Harriet Myers. It seems that Mike Brown, being a former Arabian Horse Association judge, was felt more than competent by George Bush to handle all emergency relief. And unfortunately, even though as people cried out for help in New Orleans, the first American city literally under deluge, even though Mike Brown told the people, "Do not disturb me," as he ate a fancy meal, he had worked hard that day, Bush thought he did a good job. In fact, he was quoted as saying, "Brownie, you did a heck of a job." Then, of course, there is Harriet Myers, who did a tremendous job helping Bush in a dispute over an East Texas fishing shack, and therefore was more than competent, according to the president, to be justice on the United States Supreme Court. There are other Bush cronies, of course, some that are far lesser known. One of my personal favorites is Paul J. Bonicelli, who oversees the U.S. Agency for International Development and its democracy and governance programs. It is his job, in other words, to convince the Muslims in the Middle East that we are there to promote democracy and not for religious war. Bonicelli, unlike Mike Brown or Harriet Myers, happens to be an academic, which is very nice. He was the Dean of Academic Affairs at Patrick Henry College in Percival, Virginia, where he was required to sign a statement of faith that, quote, "All who die outside of Christ shall be confined in conscious torment for eternity." How nice to have Mr. Bonicelli, who believes that all who die outside of Christ are confined in conscious torment for eternity, how nice for him to convince the Muslims in the Middle East that we're not involved in a religious war. But most Bush cronies, as I said, are merely spectacularly incompetent, horribly unfit for their jobs, and of course they ruin people's lives in that way. But one Bush crony ruined people's lives long before he was appointed by Bush as ambassador to Italy. In a breaking story here on the Inside Scoop, first time heard on radio, we have reporter John Gorenfeld, who has reported on the former ambassador to Italy, Melvin Sembler, who ran a teenage drug rehab center called Straight Inc. John Gorenfeld, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for breaking this story. Let's start with the present, and then we'll go to the past, since the past is infinitely more complicated here. We have Melvin Sembler, and he served as the ambassador to Italy from when to when?
Melvin Sembler was appointed ambassador to Italy under George W. Bush, and he stepped down earlier this year. Just after, he actually just announced he was leaving around January this year, right after on the on TV there was a victim of his claim to fame, which is running a spectacularly failed teenage punishment franchise business that was in about nine states and was closed by 1993 for a whole range of abuses, having its license revoked, basically for a lot of the same kind of stuff we've seen at Abu Ghraib.
And we're going to focus, obviously, this entire hour on exactly what happened at Straight Inc. under the direction of Melvin Sembler, the former ambassador to Italy. In fact, I have a number of callers already who want to talk about the experience. But just tell me this before we get to his past. In terms of his present, how does a guy with such a past that we're about to get into become ambassador to Italy? Did he give a lot of money to the Bush campaign?
Yeah, Mark, he gave a lot of money. In fact, he was RNC finance chairman from 1997 to 2000. This is the guy who created the Republican Regents Club that accommodated the really, really big donors, like people like Enron's Ken Lay. He was just delivering boatloads of money to the Republican Party. And in fact, so much that under the first Bush, this guy had received an ambassadorship to Australia. But the money just kept coming in. In fact, he was made fun of for being incompetent back under the first Bush when People magazine asked, is Bush's pick too hat too hick to hack it. He was made fun of in Doonesbury. In fact, he was even less qualified to go to Italy, not speaking Italian.
So he's clearly incompetent, all right, but we have lots of hundreds of Bush cronies that are incompetent. Let's focus on what the real topic is this hour, and that is the teen rehab centers called Straight Inc. We only have a few seconds before the break. Give me a 30-second on what Straight Inc. is. We'll get into details right after the break.
Straight Inc., if you remember the first Bush's 1,000 Points of Light, this was a severely harsh teenage punishment clinic, supposedly to get kids off drugs, but they would take anybody. And essentially, it used really hardcore, humiliating deprivation tactics to destroy a teenager's personality. In fact, so bad that in an earlier incarnation, a U.S. senator had actually compared it to North Korean-style brainwashing.
Pretty strong stuff. John, we've got a lot of details, and we're going to get to all those details after the break. John Gorenfeld's article can be found on Alternet, and you can find it by going to my website, RadioInsideScoop.com. Click on the link, and there's some pretty gruesome stuff that we won't have time to go into this hour. We already have lots of callers, including some people who apparently were tortured by Melvin Sembler's group. We'll be right back, 877-528-TALK, right after this.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It is well known that the Bush administration appoints incompetent people to high office merely because they give a lot of money to the Republicans and to the Bush campaign. That is no longer a surprise to most Americans after, well, people like the FEMA director, Mike Brown. It's no surprise that we have an ambassador to Italy that doesn't speak Italian and doesn't know what to do there. That's common for the Bush administration. After all, he raised millions of dollars. But what makes Mel Sembler special is not just that he's incompetent, but that he's actively cruel. He directed the leading juvenile rehab business in America called Straight Inc. And for the first time on radio, we are finding out the details about it from reporter John Gorenfeld. John, welcome back to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, thanks, Mark.
So, John, tell us, what is Straight Inc., how is it formed, and what happened there?
Well, Mark, Straight Inc. is for hundreds, if not thousands, of survivors. A nightmare that they think about every day that haunts them 15 years after they went to, as you said, the foremost, most influential teenage drug rehab clinic in America during the 80s at the height of the war on drugs. Started in Florida, became really profitable and spread out across the country, even as the ACLU was accusing it of performing something close to psychic murder, basically drawing on sort of state-of-the-art New Age experiments about reprogramming people. They really sought to humiliate teenagers into becoming somebody else in these all-day confession sessions. A little bit like what you see in the Manchurian Candidate, where the communists reprogram people. In fact, it had all stemmed from this program in 1974 that had been shut down by the U.S. Senate by Watergate prosecutor Senator Sam Ervin, who said that it was similar to what was happening to American servicemen in the Korean War. But here, in the climate of the war on drugs, it was suddenly okay to do this stuff to kids, to sort of outsource what you couldn't do to them in your own house.
John, actually, your article goes further than just required to have all-day confessions and things like that. You describe, of course, Samantha Monroe on the Montel Williams show complaining about beatings, rape, forced hunger, and the confinement to a janitor's closet in humble pants, which, well, you can tell us what those are.
This was actually a fairly common tactic that they forced people to wear their underwear for weeks, if not months, and to sit around in closets in their own bodily fluids and waste.
And this was to teach them what?
What I was getting to is that this system that was set up in which the teenagers were pretty much put in charge of the system and encouraged to bully the newcomers, it gave rise to hundreds of these stories that emerged in court of people being spat on for hours of like you said, rapes, physical abuse, teenagers being beaten up while restrained, There was one girl who was forced to hold an enema for an hour and a half while being told by her peers that she was full of crap and had to be washed out, flushed out. It was all based on this model of peer-to-peer confrontation and the idea that if you were attacked psychologically by people for hours, that it would break your spirit. You would no longer be a bad kid or a druggie or a, you know, heavy metal listening bad kid. You could suddenly put in a new personality, the personality of a say no to drugs drug warrior.
Well, John, let me ask you this.
This turned out to be widely illegal, and it was shut down across America.
Well, let me ask you this. Obviously, the reason we're talking about this is not just because it's an awful thing, but of course, it's right now. It's more than 10 years old. We're talking about it because the guy who ran Straight Inc. is Mel Sembler, who was the U.S. ambassador to Italy under George Bush. Now, does Mel Sembler claim he didn't know anything about these abuses? Is there any reason to believe that, oh, well, as they said wrongly, I think, in Abu Ghraib, you know, a few underlings just got out of control? Or was this a systematic thing where Mel Sembler had to know about it?
No, Mark, there's absolutely no chance Mel Sembler wasn't aware of the problems going on in his clinics, which were systematic and very widely reported. Mel Sembler was very much involved in staffing, in personnel matters at the beginning of Straight in the late 70s, early 80s. And by 1997, it was clear he hadn't really become very sorry about it. There was a reporter for Florida Trend magazine who asked him about it, and he said that the fact that the ACLU is all hot and bothered, he said, just showed that we were doing something right, he said. So these people, they're very walled. This is an example of how donating a huge amount of money to the Republican Party can put you into this kind of fantasy world where they're honored by people like Governor Jeb Bush as anti-drug heroes and humanitarians. I think it's best symbolized by the fact that while they were ambassador, while Melvin Sembler was an ambassador under Bush, he lived in this palace in Rome with one of the largest gardens in the entire city, and was really insulated in this life of living the good life and smoking cigars with Bush Sr. when he dropped by. And he was never forced to confront this past that has ruined a whole lot of lives.
Well, John, we have a lot of callers on the line that want to talk precisely about that. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We also have a number of comments on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. Keep them coming. We will get right to your calls right after these messages.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Melvin Sembler, George W. Bush's ambassador to Italy, is no ordinary Bush crony. Sure, he was completely incompetent and didn't speak Italian, and gave hundreds of thousands, probably millions of dollars, to Republicans in the Bush administration, but that can be said of virtually every ambassador in the Bush administration. What makes Mel Sembler special, well, or notorious, is a program he developed called Straight Inc., where he tried to get kids to stop using drugs by torturing them. Our guest today, John Gorenfeld, has written in the Alternet that there would be all-day re-education rituals in which flapping arms and chanting signaled submission to staying straight. People were coerced into confessing to being a druggy whore who went down on truckers for drugs. There was sexual abuse, beating, stomping, boys called faggots for hours while being spat upon. Humiliation so bad, John Gorenfeld writes, that a Pennsylvania judge recently ruled that it was mitigating of a death row sentence for a former teen who was at this program straight who committed a homophobic murder. John, welcome back to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks, Mark.
We have a lot of callers on the line. Let's go right to the phones at 877-528-TALK. First caller was Jason from Ohio. Jason, welcome to the Scoop.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yes. Without going into a rant, let me just first say I'm a conservative. My parents were Republicans, and I was no angel before I entered straight. Needless to say, it was a very abusive, coercive nightmare.
What happened to you, Jason?
People regularly beaten, abused, restrained, you name it. I'm not going to go into the grotesque because I really don't think that that's appropriate for this show.
Okay.
But in one case, I was locked in a room and had to defecate in my sock and then wipe myself with the other one.
And why were they telling you had to do this? Because you were a bad kid? Because you used drugs?
The peers were the staff. There was no one in charge that was of qualification, that had the qualifications to properly apply treatment for drug use.
So basically kids were abusing kids, like that famous book,
exactly.
Lord of the Flies, where you
exactly.
have no law at all.
Right.
And so the kids were taught to sort of torture and abuse other kids until they what? Until they promised not to use drugs? What was the goal here?
I have no idea. What I was referred to was misbehavior, and I spent 6 months away from my home, whereas most of the kids conformed and went up through the phase system. There were like five phases, and then you graduated, of course. I never got off first phase for more than a day. Long enough to contact my parents and tell them what was going on. They didn't believe me, and I didn't run from the place because I didn't fear them.
Yeah.
Wait. Now, hold on.
Really don't care about Sembler or any of the Bush cronies or any of it. All I'm suggesting is that there were things done to people. It's just that without being grotesque, it's very hard to describe.
Jason, tell me this. How old were you at the time?
15.
You were 15, and you called your parents and told them some of the stuff that was going on, and...
Oh, no. You were allowed no outside contact at all.
I see.
There was no phone call. You were not allowed. You didn't have any rights.
It's kind of like a prison, I guess. I mean, you're locked up. There's no way out.
Well, you know, if you didn't shake your arms like a... flap your arms like a chicken, you were thrown to the floor, and four or five other... people that were conforming at that time or scared into conforming would simply just sit on your appendages until the blood would simply just...
Sounds like a concentration camp, really.
Well, the pillows were full of snot and blood, and people cried for hours, and it was just brutal. And the women, some of the girls, endured much worse than I did.
Including rape.
They had a thing called the misbehavior policy, where you got your choice of food or shampoo.
Food or shampoo. John,
every night.
These stories aren't new or surprising to you? I mean, heard these things.
What's surprising is that in the depravity of these stories, it's just never ending what you find out from people who've been in this. These people are really courageous who are still speaking up about this. To sit here after all these years to be traumatized by this, and then meanwhile the guy who started it all is being honored. You know, you can go to the State Department website, and it says that he saved 12,000 kids from drugs. Mm. Governor Jeb Bush said that his wife was ambassadorable and named a Betty Sembler Day in 2000 to celebrate her work fighting drugs, and yet this is this horrific experience for so many people. One thing that the caller talked about was the phase system, and the idea was that you would enter with no rights at the very first rank. Somebody, there would be like a minder. See, in prison you would have more rights than this.
Sure,
you would walk
absolutely.
To the bathroom, to the shower with somebody's finger in their belt, in your belt loop. You're never allowed to look or talk to people unless you agreed to flap your arms and say, "I'm at straight, feeling great," chant the dogma, and sort of accept the ideology of it all, and then you could rise in ranks. Then you got to be the one who bossed around and pushed around and threw to the ground the other kids. And so basically, this was a model that Kim Il-sung would have found familiar.
Absolutely,
it earned a lot of comparisons to Chinese communist style.
Absolutely, it reminds me of
the 1950s.
I was just gonna say, it reminds me of the Killing Fields. It's exactly what they did, sort of the re-education for the Cambodian children. Jason, I really appreciate your calling in. We got to take another break, but stick around with me, Jason. I have other callers too, but I want to ask you when we come back, Jason, how did you get out of this hellhole? If you want to call in, it's 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop on the Talkstar Radio Network. If you missed the first half hour, boy, you missed a heck of a show. We're going to be archiving it, and people are going to want to hear this. It all has to do, in fact, with our ambassador to Italy. George W. Bush appointed him because he gave lots of money to the Republican Party, but he has a past, and his past is running some teen drug centers that was supposed to do rehabilitation and basically ended up as torture. Jason from Ohio, how did you get out of this? I mean, you were 15. Well, how'd you escape?
I did not. I never ran from them. What I did was waited for the feeding. They fed us out of a feeding window.
Wow.
And I saw an I-beam, steel I-beam, and I shimmied up it Spider-Man style, got up in the rafters and threatened to jump. I had no intentions of committing suicide. But once I saw the police and the EMTs, I knew victory was mine. They took me to the psych ward. 5 weeks later, they determined I wasn't crazy, just determined as hell to get out of that place.
Now,
I was releasing back at home.
That was
like nothing ever happened.
That's amazing. Now, you told the police, obviously, what was going on at Straight Inc. Did they believe you?
I didn't tell the police anything.
Really? Because you just wanted to get out?
Yep.
Did you tell your parents at the time?
Yes.
And what was their reaction? They believe you?
You don't have
to explain. I mean, if you don't want to go there, I don't want to invade your privacy.
They were as doped up by the program as most parents were.
Wow.
I never bought into it. That's why I spent 6 months on the first phase away from my home. I refused to treat my peers like some others did. And I don't hold any animosity towards any of them, but I just refused. Later in life, I became the same type of person, served very well. And like I said, I support our president. I know that this is a liberal type thing going here, but I support President Bush, and I support the war in Iraq.
But I'm sure you don't support appointing Melvin Sembler ambassador to Italy.
I couldn't care less about him. I really couldn't.
Sounds to me like this was his idea.
Yeah.
Let me go back to our guest, John, just on this point. I mean, John, this idea of peers running the place, basically of kids beating up kids, Melvin Sembler, was he involved in that idea?
Well, his son had been in the predecessor. You recall earlier in the program I was talking about an earlier version of it called The Seed. It was a different company. Melvin Sembler's son was in it until the U.S. Senate literally shut it down, closed off financial assistance to it from the government, on the basis that the government should not be funding cruel and inhuman behavior modification. Melvin Sembler remained a fan of it, along with some local Florida Republican politicians, and started it back up again as Straight Inc. in 1976. And he was very closely involved with it and was very much a promoter of this model of treatment.
Wow. Hey, Jason, I think it takes tremendous courage for you to call in and tell what happened to you, and I want to thank you very much for calling into the Inside Scoop.
Hey, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Let me go now. We've got Wes in Virginia. Wes, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello, Mark.
Hello.
John, thank you for your excellent article. I know it took a lot of work and a lot of courage.
Hey, Wes, thank you.
I'm one of the websites that John refers to on his in his article, and for the last 5 years, I've written a newspaper on institutional abuse of children. I write quite a bit about Straight, as a matter of fact. I want to say a couple of things, but I wanted to pick up on a couple of things that two people have already spoken about. John mentioned Jeb Bush. When Straight Orlando closed, the day it closed, the executive director reopened a program called SAFE. Jeb Bush has endorsed SAFE, and there have been allegations of abuse in SAFE, as a matter of fact. And as a matter of fact, Jeb Bush is on the advisory board for Straight today.
Yeah.
In 1995, Straight changed its name to the Drug Free America Foundation. Jeb Bush is on the board. His wife Columba's on the board. The mayor of St. Petersburg, where it was all started, is on the board, the advisory board.
And, Wes, this stuff is still going on then. Maybe not as bad, or is it going on as bad? What do we know?
Well, we don't really know. There's going to be a report on a Straight program called Kids Help, a Straight Descendant program in Cincinnati, Kids Helping Kids, on a special report on TV on Sunday night at 11 o'clock. You can go to my webpage and find out how to link to it.
Let me ask you this, because
yeah.
I'm trying to figure out one of the most interesting things I found that Jason said, and I think again Jason was very courageous to have not only survived the torture there, but not to have succumbed to becoming a torturer, because you know, like that famous book Lord of the Flies, a lot of the kids, in order to escape being beaten, become abusers, and he didn't do that. He actually came up with a clever way to escape. But one of the things that Jason said I found very interesting was he didn't tell the police what happened, because he was so afraid. And that's what scares me right now. These are kids. Kids have very few rights in our society. And if it's ongoing right now and being supported by the governor and the president and the parents apparently are believing this kind of stuff, kids can be tortured and no one can know about it until 10 years later when they grow up like Jason and are finally able to confront their demons.
That's exactly right. And look, Jason never made it beyond first phase. If he made it the second phase, he would have some control over first phasers. And as he went to third phase, more control, fourth, and so forth. If you get up to fourth and fifth phase, you just about had to return the abuse in order to progress. Because it's been in a communist rethought center. No one gets out. The people that kept you awake at night was your cellmates, because no one got out of the cell unless you all did what they wanted to do, and that was believe your confession. And that's the second thing I wanted to say about Jason. Straight is an extortion racket in the criminal sense. They deny these kids food. Kids are roughed up. They are deprived of sleep. They are cajoled. They are forced into signing confessions, confess to something. And it's quite often sexual, and they're made to sign it. And this, even today, it holds over their head. They've got the confessions.
So in other words, if someone were to say, Strait has been abusing me, they would say, aha, but we have your confession to a crime, and if you tell on us, we're going to tell on you and put you away for a number of years.
That probably happened, but it's just the thought of it. You know they've got the confessions, and you don't want your parents and the police and the judges, and you just want to get away from it all.
Right.
I want to just a couple of things.
Real quick, because we have other callers.
If I may.
Go ahead.
One thing is that I said in 1995, Strait changed its name to Drug Free America Foundation. Now, what they do today, they are a think tank on drug policy.
Right.
The principals of this place, Melvin and Betty Sumner, in my estimation, should have been prosecuted. They should have been in prison. But they are setting national drug policy. And there was a case that just went before the Supreme Court this summer, and it was Rake versus Ashcroft. And a group of professionals throughout the country submitted to the court an amicus curiae brief. And to the judges, it looked like all of these drug policy experts are just diversified from all over the place. But from right on the front of it, the principles are Drug Free America Foundation. That's Strait.
Yeah.
Foundation for Drug Free Schools.
So basically, they're all the same people working together, the same people that have done this kind of torture.
If the people that want to liberalize or rethink our drug laws, if they knew that the people behind this was Melvin and Betty Sumner, they would be outraged.
Wes, it's scary stuff. I'll tell you, I'm sorry, we have to take a break. I've already talked with John about extending this show onto my Sunday show, so there'll be more time to talk about it, but I have to cut you off now because I've got other callers I want to get to. Toll-free number.
Much.
Thank you, Wes, for calling in. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing an organization called Strait, Inc., run by Melvin Sembler, who later gave enough money to the Republican Party that he was appointed ambassador to Italy, but in the meantime has been trying to run our nation's drug policy and is most famous for torturing the teens in his rehab center. I was talking with John, and he has agreed to come back this Sunday. There's so much here. Frankly, we barely scratched the surface. We've got people calling in who've been abused by him. I want to keep this story alive. This is the first radio show in the nation to mention what's going on, and I think it needs to be brought to the public. So I'm announcing it right now. We are coming back on the air on this subject, 5 o'clock Eastern Time on Sunday. That's 2 o'clock Pacific Time, 4 Central, 3 Mountain. We will continue this. So if you don't get enough time to talk today, please call back in Sunday. Let me go now to Ginger in Pennsylvania. Ginger, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for doing this show. Hi, John. Thanks for doing the story. I think this is a really important story.
I do too, Ginger.
I wanted to ask you a couple of things. How do you know that the rest of the Bush cabal's appointees are not just as stark, raving crazy as Assemblers?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, we're just finding out so many of them. I happen to know a lot of them are. In fact, I had John Gornfeld a year ago talk about all the followers of Reverend Sun Myung-moon, which is a whole nother story, but basically he declared himself the Messiah and is trying to remove crosses from churches and doing crazy stuff with sexual fluids that I don't need to go into on this show. But we've got a number of crazies in there. I think most of them, to be fair, and I don't know if this is being fair, but most of them are simply incompetent rich people, people like Mike Brown of FEMA, who was uncaring and incompetent, but not sort of downright evil like Melvin Assembler seems to be.
I don't know about that. You look at the Drug Policy Network of the Americas, which is one of Betty Assembler's other pseudonyms, and they think that cocaine and marijuana are so profoundly dangerous to all of us that it justifies spraying Agent Orange on villages in the pristine rainforest.
Yeah, and we have done shows on drug policy on this program. It is amazing how people don't seem to understand that people who use drugs they need help. They don't need to be tortured.
I don't even think that. Most people who have a problem with drugs help themselves.
Well, it depends on the drug.
It's a small problem.
It depends on the drugs.
It's the biggest problem facing us. And honestly, I came on to this issue and decided to try and get some publicity onto these people when I found out I had been studying drug policy. And I came across names like Assembler and Calvina Fay and, you know, different Donald E. McDonald, Carlton Turner, all the most lunatic zealots in drug policy. And then I met Wes.
Ginger,
your prior guest.
I want to ask John Gornfeld. We've heard from Ginger. We've heard from Wes. I mean, Straight has been around. At least it was closed down in 1993. How is it that you are one of the first to really bring up that this guy became Ambassador John Gornfeld and that the Inside Scoop was the first radio show to talk about this publicly? Why no attention before?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. I mean, it's really hard to find out why nobody was really asking. When this guy was appointed ambassador, I think there was a press conference transcript where somebody said, okay, and this guy's qualifications to become ambassador of Italy are what? And they gave some stock boilerplate answer and rubber stamped him in. I stumbled across it while I was looking for stories on federal funding for cults and cult-like organizations. And Wes, our caller from earlier, has put up this wonderful site where he's collected all of this stuff. And if you look around there on the web, there are a lot of people trying to draw attention to something that the media has just not paid attention to.
John, let me ask you this. Obviously, ambassadors have to be confirmed by the Senate. He must have been confirmed. I assume it just went through and nobody noticed. Did you look at those hearings?
He sailed through because he'd been ambassador to Australia under the first Bush, and when he was appointed then, the Professional Diplomats Association was sort of offended that these people who didn't have any qualifications were becoming ambassadors, and they asked, what makes this guy qualified? And I think it was Jesse Helms who said, well, look, he ran Straight. This guy has leadership experience. So what you're looking at is this massive failure that hurt thousands of people as a qualification for office, which is much worse than just running a failed Arabian Horse Association.
So, John, in other words,
they will never admit, even to themselves, that it was a failure.
Well, John, let me ask you this. No one in any of the confirmation hearings, whether ambassador to Australia under Bush 1 or ambassador to Italy under Bush 2, nobody brought up the stuff that you've brought out in your story? The torture
I
and so
there
forth?
There was some token mention back in back in 88 when Bush 1 became president and was looking around for very old friends to appoint. He restrained teens, but...
In those days, Nancy Reagan was bringing British royalty to open meetings to show it off.
Right, Princess Diana stopped by.
And those of us who were eyewitnesses to this, you know, where does my story begin? Well, I was in a drug rehab as a teenager and I escaped. Are you going to listen to anything I say after that?
So, Ginger, you also, like Jason, were in straight, and you also escaped.
I was Sammy's old comer, Sammy Monroe.
Oh, you're the one that's mentioned in John's story.
She doesn't mention me. I was very low-key. I did the very minimum that I could to just not get my butt beat.
Yeah.
But you saw all these tortures occur.
Oh, yeah.
Were women...
It was routine.
It was routine.
Yeah.
And how did you escape?
I planned it. I convinced everyone except for my mother and staff that I had permission to get off the school bus on the higher phase downtown and got off the bus and ran. And like Jason, I would never have gone to the police. If I saw a cop, I would have run.
There really needs to be a movie about some of these people.
I mean, you got to understand that when Senator Urban's report withdrew funding from the Seed, which, by the way, didn't actually close. They just lost their federal funding. They closed 3 years ago.
Okay, but then they were forced to write.
Right. They got pushed back to a regular old cult, not a nationwide chain. At that time, Melvin Semler waited, laid low for a couple of years until Irvin was gone and the media was no longer looking at this issue, and picked up funding again through Law Enforcement Assistant Agency.
Well,
Mark Vines, the chief of police in St. Pete, was a program parent and on the board of directors.
And I actually have a caller from St. Pete. Ginger, we're going to continue this discussion on Sunday because we're just very much scraping the top here. I hope you'll call back in on Sunday.
This is a job for the Fourth Estate, and once again, thank you. Thank you guys for doing
this. My best. We're going to cover it on Sunday as well. We still have callers on the line. We'll get to you right after this.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Only have a few minutes left on this hour to talk about this shocking story. The phones are ringing off the hook. We're talking, of course, about the ambassador to Italy, George W. Bush's ambassador to Italy, who ran a drug rehab center for teens that's more akin to a concentration camp. We've had callers call in, tell about their personal experiences, and this is the first time this story has been aired anywhere on radio in the United States. It's a big story, and we're going to continue it this Sunday, 5 o'clock Eastern Time and 2 o'clock California Time, because I've been shocked, frankly, by what I've been hearing, and I want to make sure this gets a lot of press. We still have some callers on the line. Let's go right now to Kim in St. Petersburg, Florida. Kim, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, thank you so much for doing this story.
Thank you for calling in.
I can't tell you what it means.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I'm surprised no one did it before me, but I'm on it now, and I guarantee you we're going to keep talking about this story.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I can't tell you what it means from all of us who have suffered through this, and I really think that the main reason that this hasn't been covered until now is because of all the money that the Semblers throw at the Republican Party. It's just insane, and what happened to us was bad enough, you know, back then. My experience was 20-plus years now, and it still affects me. My father and I don't speak and haven't spoken for 5 years, and all because of this.
How old were you, Kim, when you were sent there?
I was either 15 or 16. I was right on the cusp of the 16.
How long were you there?
2 years.
2 years?
2 years.
And
it was the most horrendous 2 years of my life.
Torture, rape, all the things that John Gordonfeld reports, it all happened there?
I didn't personally witness any rape. I personally witnessed a great deal of torture, both physical and emotional. That was just a daily thing. That was nothing new. That was nothing, you would hear the screams of kids being beaten in the room right next to you with the door closed, and you knew what was going on, but you knew not to even look over there. All of this stuff was bad enough, but what I think is worse is the incredible amount of influence that these people held then and continue to hold now over our drug policy, over our health policies. Betty Semler has been pronounced by Jeb Bush, the governor of Florida, to be Miss Ambassadorable for her work with Straight. Jeb Bush is on the board of DFAF, which used to be straight.
John Gordfeld, let me ask you, what role are they having now in terms of influencing drug policy?
The Drug Free America Foundation is an influential think tank that used to be straight, and now they throw these events, throwing their money at lobbying for severe narcotics laws throughout the hemisphere, and for trying to stamp out medical marijuana, which Betty Sembler, the ambassador's wife, calls medical excuse marijuana.
Oh, you should hear what she calls us.
What does she call you?
Anybody that dares question her or her methods or what she did, there was somebody that stood up at a conference that she was speaking at and asked her if she cared to apologize to any of the kids that
she
were
said, get
abused.
A life.
And she said they need to get a life.
Wow.
Yeah, she said the ones who need to apologize are the people who want to legalize marijuana. This coming from someone whose clinic left probably thousands of people with post-traumatic stress disorder.
It sounds worse than a prison camp.
Actually, before the seed had its funding pulled, I think Ginger spoke of this earlier, that there was a Senate report that it came right out and said that these methods that they were using to supposedly treat, and I use that term very loosely, kids, was akin to the brainwashing that our POWs went through in Korea.
Yeah, it called it un-American.
Now, I mean, how do you justify that? And there were kids in there, mind you, that were 12 years old. I watched a 12-year-old girl get yanked up off the floor by her hair and dragged across the warehouse. This is in full view of all the parents. They had the parents so scared about the big bad drug war that the parents were willing to do anything.
There's absolutely
continuing today.
There's absolutely no justification for it. I am so glad that John Gartenfeld brought this to my attention, and all of you for calling in. We are going to continue this story, something we rarely do on the Inside Scoop. We're going to continue this Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific Time. There's a whole different radio audience on Sundays, and they're going to find out a Melvin Sembler. Thank you, John.
Hey, thank you.